T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, only on 105.7 FM. The Fan, see Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, Anthony Mandela producing the show today. Leroy Butler will be in here at some point this hour. Rob Reichel of Forbes and BobMcGinnFootball.com will join us, has a great piece or series of pieces going on the Packers right now for Forbes. We'll also get his thoughts on Melvin Gordon. And what we talked about yesterday, Melvin Gordon wanted to get paid or get traded, and what he thinks the Packers' chances are of getting Melvin Gordon, what he would do to maybe go get Melvin Gordon. We'll talk with Adam McKelvey, obviously of MLB.com, Brewers.com, as he gets ready to cover the Brewers' first game after the All-Star break against San Francisco Giants tonight. Chase Anderson on the Hill. We'll check in with Adam coming up at about 4:48 before Great Lakes Dragway pick a lane at 5. All right, Gary, so lots of movement around the National Basketball Association now here over the course of the last couple of weeks, and that's really all it has been. I mean, this all really started June 30th, and it's really taken off to a whole different level since then. Your thoughts on whether or not this is actually a good thing for the NBA. Want to hear your thoughts as well. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan.
Well, you know what? I love player movement. I mean, I love when players can move around and not be held down to one. I mean, I want the players to make all the money they can make, okay? So I think we're all good with that. But I just don't like the way it's happening in the NBA. It feels like the players are kind of running everything, and they're crying and whining about who they want to play with and where they want to play. They go pound on the desk, and then these guys move them on. I don't know if that's healthy for the NBA. Now, you made mention of it a little bit yesterday. You were talking about from a fan's perspective. And so I get the way it is in the NFL where guys change teams. I mean, I get that. But when you start having Paul George go into the office and goes, I'm going to go play with
Kawhi.
Yep. Those kind of things are not healthy for me, for any sport, when a guy's pounding on the table and say, here's where I want to go, trade me. Now, OKC, to their credit, got a lot of picks out of this thing. I mean, and rightly so. I think what they did was probably get the most out of the trio that they had. I mean, if you go back to the beginning, everybody know that, you know, they had Durant, Harding, and Westbrook. They had all three of those guys together. And I think what ended up happening is that ship sailed. And they tried to piecemeal it together by going and getting Paul George. I never saw Paul George going into the office and say, I'm leaving, I'm going to the Clippers. I don't know if that's healthy for the NBA. I think at some point you've got to make these guys in some way honor the contract that they signed and not give up to their every whim when they come into your office.
And an interesting tweet last night from Dwayne Wade, who tweeted, all I know is my jersey swap collection is looking kind of bootleg since free agency started. A bunch of laughing, crying emojis. In 20 years, ain't no one believing those players played in those uniforms.
Right.
And then a heart symbol after that. That was at like 9:45 last night, somewhere in that area from D. Wade. And if you weren't paying attention to the NBA, D. Wade was on his retirement tour last year in his last season in the NBA, and he'd always pick one player to do a jersey swap with on the court. So he'd take off his jersey, they take off their jersey, and then they would swap and he'd get that other player's jersey. Let's go over the list of players that he did a jersey swap with that no longer are on their current NBA teams.
Crazy.
Anthony Davis, no longer a Pelican, now a Laker. Chris Paul,
He is no longer a Houston Rocket. He is now a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, probably to be moved again. Paul George, he is no longer a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He is now an LA Clipper. Jimmy Butler, he is no longer a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. He's now a member of the Miami Heat. Kemba Walker, he's no longer a member of the Charlotte Hornets. He's now a member of the Boston Celtics. D'Angelo Russell, no longer a member of the Brooklyn Nets, now a member of the Golden State Warriors. Terry Rozier, no longer a member of the Boston Celtics, now a member of the Charlotte Hornets. Isaiah Thomas is still out there, and he has moved on as well. And then Mike Conley. Those are the guys we're talking about here that have moved on. And Isaiah Thomas is a Washington Wizard. And obviously Mike Conley, a member of the Utah Jazz.
Crazy.
That is a lot of guys. You're talking nine players that he did jersey swaps with. And that doesn't include all the other players that have changed addresses in the offseason.
That's crazy.
You just look at the Bucks. They've added Wesley Matthews. He changes addresses. Robin Lopez, he changes addresses. I think, and we're going to find out how this goes, I think you're going to see a spike in NBA ratings at the beginning of next season like you've not seen before.
Because everybody is
going to want to see how all of these new teams look against each other. Then I think, depending on how the beginning of the season goes, maybe you'll see a little bit of a dip, and then it'll spike back up once you get towards playoff time. That's the question. Do you think all the player movement in the NBA is a good thing? That's the question. Is all the NBA player movement in the NBA a good thing? And we talked about free agency yesterday on this show and whether or not it was good for sports and all that fun stuff. And I just said I don't really think it is. I don't think it's something that the fans really want one way or the other. But then you start looking at all these superstar players changing. Could you imagine if this happened in the National Football League? Could you imagine if Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, all these guys change teams within the course of one offseason?
Yeah, no.
Right?
No.
Or Julio Jones, he goes somewhere. Odell Beckham, he already moved this year. DeAndre Hopkins, he moves this offseason. You start moving superstar players and star players from one roster to another to this degree where you have, you know, eight or nine big-name all-star type players moving in one offseason. I don't think the NFL would be very happy at all.
No. And the NFL wouldn't allow it to be these kind of stars. The guys are moving are megastars.
Yes.
Steve, these guys, and you're right, I think people will tune in early to see how all this is going to shake out. The NFL will never allow – this would be like Aaron Rodgers leaving. Now, Antonio Brown is a megastar. I mean, he did kind of get his, but we saw that coming in Pittsburgh. I mean, that just wasn't going to. But this would be like Aaron Rodgers up and leaving. You know, that magnitude of players. And that LeBron equals Aaron Rodgers, you know, too. So, no, this wouldn't go well in the NFL.
And see, that's the one thing, because you're going to have all of these CBA player negotiations and with
did
owners.
You see a new thing now? The 18 games? They just
with the
came
NFL?
Out?
Yeah, we could talk about that a little bit at some point. But that's the thing is, you have all these player negotiations, right? So when the players sit down with the NBA owners, is this going to be an issue for the NBA owners? I mean, we've heard about, well, tampering this, tampering that. Mm-hmm. And I heard one national guy talk about, well, you know, if that would have happened with the Bucks and Giannis would have met with Kawhi Leonard, and then Giannis would have went into Mark Lazary had said, hey, I want to be traded. You better believe that they would have been trying to get tampering charges from the NBA, would have been, you know, hot to trot on that deal.
Sure.
The Bucks would have been.
Yes.
Unlike apparently Oklahoma City, who didn't go that far. But as I've said before, who are you going to get tampering charges on? Kawhi? He's not even on a team. He's a free agent.
Sure.
He's not recruiting for anybody.
Right.
You can't get the teams because in the same situation of Kevin Durant, he never even talked to Brooklyn. And he said they were going there. They never even had a conversation. Mm-hmm. It was news to the Nets that Kevin Durant was coming there when they hadn't even talked to him. Mm-hmm. So from that aspect, I'm not sure there's really much you can do from an owner perspective, Gary. How do you even go about even trying to slow this down?
Well, you have to change the rules.
And to what? Well, you have to sign 10-year deals and you can't move?
Well, I mean, no, the tampering rules you have to change. That's what they have to tighten up on.
And the tampering is
the players are part of the tampering rules.
So you're
even if you're a free agent.
Yeah, I don't think you can
and
monitor
I don't know,
that.
You can't.
You can't control phones and
you can't
lunch meetings.
You can't, but these guys are stupid enough to put something on Instagram and go,
oh, from that sample,
I was held hostage
right.
by Rondo, by
Cousins.
AD, by
right.
These guys
Cousins
are stupid
talking
to do
about that.
That. Yeah, they right. are. They're stupid enough to do it.
Right.
It's out there. These guys will do that.
Well, if they do that and they out themselves, that's
sure.
one thing, right?
Right, and this is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. He's Gary Ellerson, C. Sparky Fiverr with you. Do you think all this player movement in the NBA is a good thing? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. And anytime you're looking to do a little remodel,
sure.
maybe add onto your outdoor space and make it an oasis instead of just a bunch of grass in your backyard, mm-hmm. there's only one place.
Yeah, my good friends over at J&J Contractors, folks. And ask for Jason when you call him up. Guys, if you're looking to do something to your kitchen, countertops, cabinets, add a bathroom onto your house or just redo your bathroom, add in a livable space, something like maybe wanting to redo your basement, make it into a man cave, or maybe you want to do a screened-in porch or something like that. My good friends over at J&J Contracts do just about anything, guys. If you have a dream or something that you want to do with your house, my good friends over in J&J Contracts most certainly will make all your dreams come true, guys. Call them up today. Ask for my good friend Jason at J&J Contractors.
Show served up hot and fresh on 105.7 FM, The Fan. See Sparky Fifer. Former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Baby Tosh out today. He is on the road to the wedding he's been talking so much about the last couple of weeks. So we'll get a recap from that coming up on Monday. And Gary Ellerson will be on the road on Monday along with Baby Tosh for the Wendy's Big Show and Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler.
I hope that's right. Leroy will be there.
And you guys are playing golf?
Mm-hmm. So the Packer Hall of Fame having their golf outing at the Bull Golf Course. And they have us up at the Blue Harbor Resort. It was a great resort if you guys haven't been up there. But all the proceeds will be, you know, benefiting the Packer Hall of Fame, all the memorabilia that they can get inside the Hall of Fame. And, you know, they renovated it and they moved it over to the new stadium and all that new stuff over there. And so this is, you know, they have two fundraisers, obviously. One is the golf tournament, another one is the dinner that they have.
And they're run independently from the Packers.
Yeah, they're run independently from the Packers. So they get no money from the Packers. It's the money that they raise on these charity events that they do.
And then is it open to the public?
No, it's not. If you want a foursome, I mean, you can call the Packer Hall of Fame and get a foursome.
Right, but you can't show up and go watch you play.
No, you know.
Right.
No, you have too many people out there. They don't want to govern
all that. Wouldn't they make a lot more money?
Oh, I suppose you can charge, right? You can charge these people to come in. Yeah, but
is that what they do for, like, when McCarthy had his golf outing? Did they charge if people wanted to come watch?
No, you couldn't do that either.
That was private, too.
Yeah, it was private.
Charles Woodson?
You can't watch it.
That's either. Private too.
Yeah,
the only
one that's open is the Vince Lombardi here in Menominee Falls at North Hills Country
right.
Club. That one's is open. That's the only one that if you want to come out and watch celebrities play, you can come and watch and stand alone on the ropes and come in. And I think that may be free.
I do
come
not.
In and watch.
I don't understand that at all.
But
I don't know the logistics of what that would be like to put the ropes up, but.
Well, no,
then you'd have to have security. Right.
And so they do have security for a certain number of people who do come, but you got to hire security. You just got to hire extra people.
And you would think you get $5 or $10 a head easy to go watch all you former players
play. I
think play.
It would pay for itself. Yeah. And then,
easy.
And then it comes to the golf course. Don't want that golf course all trampled over.
True.
Stuff
There's
like that
too.
Then
yeah.
Then they got a.
The Bulls are a real nice course.
The Bulls are a real nice track, and they got a fee for all that.
Yep.
So they don't want to deal with all that.
That makes sense. See, we just talked it out. I got my answer. There he is. Yeah. Gary Ellerson. So he'll be out there along with Baby Tosh and everybody else. We'll be here on the big show on Monday. Asking you the question now, do you think all the player movement in the NBA is actually a good thing? 414-799-1250. Mel on the north side, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Sure.
I listen to your show daily. I'm sorry, Gary. I could not disagree more. I want to have those athletes, black athletes in particular, take on the authority, the capacity, have their independence, to have the opportunity to find other employment someplace else. They just happen to be athletes. I think this is a good thing. If 94.5 or some other station want to offer Gary $200,000 more to pair him with Tony Smith on another station, you can't go, Gary. You can't get that $200,000 because it's not nice for guys not to be able to, you don't have the capacity
to change and move. In this case, though, Mel, is not that because Russell Westbrook already has his money, so he's not moving to go to Houston for more money. He's moving to Houston to go play with a buddy. So this is not a money thing. I mean, this is not about money at all. Yeah, I do agree with you that to have freedom to move is a great point. But I think when you're just moving to go play with a buddy, to me, I frown upon that. But I do want the freedom. But this is not about money. This is about I want to leave because I want to go play with my friend.
Mel, just for your well, just so you know that Gary's under contract, so Gary won't be going anywhere. So I mean, we could take care of that and squish that right now, Mel.
You don't want me to go with Tony Smith?
Yeah, no.
There you go. But it's I think that's still I think they're more calculating than you give them credit for. It started with LeBron.
Sure.
He had the big three. What happened? They won one or two championships from that collaboration.
Sure.
So it's not just friendship, and there is some positive when athletes play together.
Mel, let me ask you a question.
They have a understanding, a rapport that they can utilize on the court.
Now, tell me this. Why doesn't this happen in the NFL or MLB?
Well, NFL is different because of the contractual. You got Melvin Gordon trying to bust it.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, this goes all the way back to the baseball player from St. Louis back in the 60s. Mel, I'm forgetting his name. He was the second baseman.
Mel Ott?
Yeah.
No.
He challenged the free agency rule. And so, you know, you have to try it. And, you know, I think this is going to happen in the NFL as well. As long as they get a strong individual in that union group representing them, they can bust that open and make the possibility of players being able to move more fluent.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see here. Kurt Flood,
yes.
Yeah. Right, Kurt Flood was the first one to do it. Kurt Flood's refusal to accept a trade to the Phillies in 69 and subsequent lawsuit against Major League Baseball is often pointed to as a turning point that toppled the reserve clause and brought MLB players free agency. Of course, Flood ultimately lost his decision before the U.S. Supreme Court and was the result of something more like a clerical error a few years later. Two players playing a season without a contract, which led to the Seitz decision, where an arbitrator effectively ruled that players who reached the end of their contract were entitled to free agency. So there you go. Okay, so this is my thing. So last night on Twitter, people were going back and listening to our podcast, and they were reacting on Twitter as they were listening to the podcast to our free agency segment yesterday. And similar to what Mel just did, race became an issue in all of this when the free agency topic came up. Now, yesterday when we had this conversation on the air, nobody brought up race as an issue in this whole conversation whatsoever. I didn't think race was an issue in this conversation whatsoever. Is it more of an issue than I realized, this whole free agency free agency?
And I brought that up yesterday, race, because it had been, sports had been a slave sort of mentality owner. You're owned. I mean, if you look at the NFL and some of the owners in the NFL, and we've had problems with this within the last 5 years, where the slave mentality of it is that they own you and you can't move, you can't go anywhere, and you couldn't really go to the highest bidder, so they get to pay you anything they want to pay you because there was no back and forth. I mean, we hear these stories about Vince Lombardi all the time. Like, you know, he was the guy, you walk in and say, I want more money, Vince says, get out. You're not getting any more money. That's it.
Go somewhere else.
well, either go somewhere else or you pay for what it is. Right. And it really wasn't, you can't go anywhere else because then you get a bad reputation back then and no one else would pick you up because Vince could call if he wanted to. You know, this guy is trouble. So, yeah, it had that sort of twist to it where you were owned by owner and they controlled you into where you could go. Yeah, there are some racial undertones to that if you're African Americans, but that also rule applied to white players too, because that's just what the rules were.
That's what the sports is, you couldn't go anywhere. The other thing that's happening right now is people are starting this thing of, well, we should get rid of the draft. There shouldn't be a draft. These players should be allowed to go where they want to go. I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll continue to say it. That will never, ever, 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 ever happen.
You're never
going to see the draft be getting rid of. Mm-mm. If that were to happen, small market teams in all sports would be dead. Yes. It would be over because all the highest revenue teams with all the money are going to get all the best players coming out every single year, and it would kill sports. You'd have professional sports league of six teams operating out of L.A., Chicago, and New York, maybe Atlanta. But, I mean, that's what it's going to be.
Chicago.
So while it's unfair, I guess you could say that, you know, said high school kid in baseball doesn't get to determine where he plays his Major League Baseball, or a college kid in basketball, baseball, or football doesn't get to pick where he goes and he has to go play somewhere where he may not want to be. Mm-hmm. He then does get the opportunity, though, after that initial rookie contract, to go somewhere else outside of the NFL that has the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And how the NFL was able to get the franchise tag and how the Players Association allowed to me is beyond me. But they did. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how the NFL is not going to allow all these star players to move around. And that is why that franchise tag play is in place there.
They want to keep those
Keep the superstars in the same place most of their career until they're older. And at the end of their career, fine, move. Then go right ahead. Go finish your career somewhere else. And that's just, I don't know. The whole thing is kind of crazy. Do you think the player movement in the NBA is a good thing? Ben tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan. No, it's detrimental to pro basketball. But this is what happens when you let players run a league. It becomes a coastal sport. Enjoy, Kamish. That's Ben tweeting at 105.7 FM The Fan. David tweets at The Fan, I think something like no matter who the player is and how much the contract is worth, they should all be four-year contracts. You have to honor it. And then after that 4 years, you can move on. Like high school, after 4 years, you graduate and spread your wings. Do you like that idea where it's standard contracts across? So you can't sign a two-year deal. You can't sign a five-year deal. You can't sign a 10-year deal. Everybody gets the same length of contract. So one-year deals, done. Can't have them anymore. They have to be a standard length of a contract. So DeMarcus Cousins, 4 years at $3.5 million. You don't get a prove-it year, one-year deal with the LA Lakers. You've got to sign for 4 years. And essentially what that's doing is, or the hope I would assume David is pointing at, is you're trying to keep these teams together for longer by making them sign longer-term contracts.
That's what you're trying to do. And, yeah, I mean, I mean,
and it's
I
guaranteed
like that.
Money
yeah,
if in it's sports.
Who wouldn't want guaranteed money?
I mean, that's what you're talking about. So if Cousins signs that four-year deal, seeing a player in his situation gets screwed, though, because you come off of an injury, and now you, instead of getting a one-year prove-it deal and then getting your big contract that you deserve back, now you got to take a four-year prove-it deal for little to nobody compared to what you're worth talent-wise because you're coming off of an injury. Those players get completely screwed at this deal.
Well, the only problem I have with all this, Steve, is just like what happened last night. Or what happened with Paul George? I got no problem with guys moving. I mean that doesn't bother me. You know, moving to make more money. Paul George didn't move to the Clippers to make more money. It wasn't a contract situation.
Nope, moved to go play with somebody else.
Westbrook didn't move to Houston for more money. It wasn't a contract situation. See, that's what's different to me. If you're gonna go make more money, I'm all for folks making money. But this is not that.
Ben tweets at The Fan, honestly, I think there needs to be some sort of compensatory formula for losing players like the NFL has. If a player leaves it via free agency, teams losing that player shouldn't be left completely empty-handed. Not sure how to do it, but something needs to be done. By a player leaving, I mean like a superstar player. Even MLB has a compensatory formula with draft picks when losing players. That's a great point. The other two sports do have something. right? MLB, it may be a draft pick, which doesn't mean as much because these players are 4 or 5 years away.
Right.
But even in the NFL, you get a fourth-round pick if you lose said player, or a third-round pick, or a fifth-round pick. There's nothing in the NBA right now for these small-market teams. Nothing at all. Tony tweets at the fan, player movement is good, but only to a certain point. This offseason might have exceeded that point. You don't want the NBA to turn into the AAU circuit. It will cause fan interest to die out in non-major markets and put a definite ceiling on the league appeal and growth. You agree with that or no?
No, yeah, I do. I think that's where we're headed. I think that's why you can't have all these things happening the way it's happening without guys being penalized for it. You just can't just go knock on the door and say, I'm leaving, and trade me. And then you leave your franchise high and dry. If a contract ends, your contract ends. That's great. But like I say, Oklahoma City got rich out of it. They knew what they were doing. They moved on. They got all the picks. The Bucks are going to be – I mean, well, listen, if you think about it, the Green Bay Packers, in a certain sort of way, did that this past year.
Did what?
With the new coach. They changed everything.
Yeah, to a degree.
I mean, the players, not so much. But
there's Aaron Rodgers is still there. Davante Adams is still there. Oklahoma City did was they got rid of Rodgers and Davante Adams.
This, they got rid of the whole coaching staff, but your whole defense is completely different.
Could you imagine what Fat Packer fan base would be like if they traded Rodgers for picks and they traded Davante Adams for picks?
That's what happened.
Could you imagine what this fan base would be like
right now?
They'd
be up in arms.
Oh, my God.
They'd lose their mind.
Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based family-run company, a company that's been in business over 27 years? Well, you're in luck. Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is growing. They currently are looking to add to their dispatch department and sales departments. You've heard me talk about what a great company this is to work for. Now go and apply online. Go to youngexpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Different positions open. There's one that's perfect for you. Let's talk about that sales opening, shall we? What do you need? Well, energetic, friendly personality, right? Reliable transportation, willingness to travel within an assigned territory, high school diploma or equivalent. Excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential. That's just some of the stuff that they're looking for right now. So if you fit those, you probably should be good to go. What can you expect by getting hired there? 40-hour work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses and contests, generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k. Company that cares about you as an individual. Strong support team behind you from the ownership on down. Plus, you get a cell phone, a tablet, all sales and promotional materials provided to you by Young Express, and even better yet, a chance to grow. Always like being in a company that has a chance to grow, right? Apply for a position that fits your passion right now, sales or dispatch. Go to youngexpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. Up next, we'll talk a little bit about what the NFL has proposed to the NFLPA and expanding that schedule to 18 games. They got a twist on how they want to do it. We'll talk about it straight ahead. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Only on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler now in studio. The Packer Hall of Famer, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Anthony Mandela producing. I have Fam, other side of the glass, interning as well today. Don't forget, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show comes up at 6 o'clock tonight with Anthony Mandela. You'll hear from Peter Gammons. You'll hear from Peter Gammons coming up on the show tonight at 6 o'clock and his thoughts concern about the Brewers possibly wearing Josh Hader out and possibly costing them before the end of the season is up. So you want to tune in to hear Peter Gammons coming up on the Deck show at 6 o'clock. Okay, so 18-game schedule is being proposed by the NFL. We know they've been talking about this for quite some time. And now they are doing the twist that so many people have talked about in the past as being an option, and that is they are proposing that players will only play 16 of the 18 games. Meaning, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, you are going to play in 16 of the 18 games. Coaches will tell you what two games you will not participate in this season. So, you would assume...
I'm not going to get paid for 18 games?
You're going to pay for 16 games. That way they don't have to raise payroll or pay players more money. But what will have to happen, in my opinion, and tell me if I'm wrong here, they're going to have to expand rosters. if you're going to do this,
you're
going to have to have more depth at every position to make up for guys missing games, right? Now, on Pro Football Talk.
So that means that Aaron Rodgers is going to miss two games.
Right. Now, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio speculated, and that's all this is, speculation, that they could put in a exception for kickers, punters, and quarterbacks to allow them to play all 18 games and then, you know, pay them accordingly if that is something that they want to do. If they don't do that, I mean, kickers, I think that's what will happen. They're not going to make them carry backup field goal kickers and punters. But from a quarterback position, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to only be allowed to play 16 games. And then that backup quarterback is going to be in charge for you for two football games every single year if this were to get done, Gary. And now that backup quarterback is a bigger deal.
See, all they have to do is, I would assume that they get rid of two preseason games. Well, two of the four preseason games.
That's not stated. Don't know.
That's not. Well, I mean, I think that's.
But I'm assuming that's what they'll do.
Here's what I would do. Get rid of two of the preseason games. If you want to go 18 games, fine. Then give me two bye weeks.
They will have two bye weeks.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
What about player safety? I thought they would.
Well, that's why they're saying 16 games only.
Right. But if.
Still not.
But no, I want the money though, Leroy.
Playing.
If you're going. If it's going to be 18 games, give me the extra bye week and give me the two extra paychecks. They're trying to get away from giving you that two extra paycheck.
That's what it's about. Yes.
Well, you can't play 18 games.
Well, right. So I want to play in 18 games. I want them extra two paychecks, and I want two bye weeks.
Sounds like a strike coming.
It ain't coming to make too much money.
All right. That's
not happening. No, I agree with Gary. That's not happening.
All right.
But that eliminates all that. If you get two bye weeks, that helps you out immensely.
I will tell you from
then the season's gonna go long forever.
From a fan perspective, Gary, I love it. And you know why I love it? 16 games, but 18-game schedule. The strategy that will play out throughout the course of a season, because you're gonna have to have by a certain day and time, who's not playing for that week.
Sure.
You can't, I don't think, I mean, I guess they could allow you to go all the way up to like 2 hours before kickoff and then throw in your inactives. But to be fair, I think inactives should have to be out. But this is strategy again, right? If I'm an NFL team, I'm playing all my backups the same two games and all my starters rest the same two games. That's how I'm going about it. So when I rest Rodgers, Devontae's not playing, Bakhtiari's not playing, they're all not playing the same two games. And I'm essentially going to throw up my hands and go, if we lose those two, fine. The rest of the season, my starters are playing all 16 games. So for two games, they'll be essentially exhibitions with all my backups playing. And the rest of them, my starters are playing. But there's one problem. You're not going to do it at home games. You're not going to screw the Lambeau fans. You're not going to do it in interdivision games, right? So when are you going to do it? Are you going to do it on the international trip so the starters don't have to go play in London? Or they don't have to go play in Japan or China? Is that what you're going to rest them? Because the NFL is going to lose their minds if they send you on an international trip and your starters don't play. Or are you going to do it when you go to Cleveland to play? And now those Browns fans that want to see Aaron Rodgers play pay all that money and whoops, no, we're watching the Packers' third string team go. And those fans are going to be mad if that happens, and when they go to see that star player play. You see it in the NBA now.
Sure.
When these guys get rested, now you're telling your fan base, hey, look, there's going to be two games where they are definitely not going to play. We don't know which ones they are, but you may not see your favorite player play at some point throughout the course of a season.
Yeah.
And on an 18-game schedule, Gary, is it going to be 16 games like normal, 8 games on the road, 8 games at home, and then 2 neutral games at neutral sites? So they can make even more money playing at neutral site games? Or is it going to be 9-9?
See, Steve, you like all this kind of stuff.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
I'll be quiet and let you go through it. That's not going to happen. What's going to happen is that you're going to play two preseason games, and you're going to have an extra bye week, and these guys are going to play 18 games.
Right. So would it be 9 home and 9 away then?
Probably.
That's what you think it'll be. They'll just add a home and away game.
Yeah, so and that gets Leroy player safety.
No.
I mean, that's what they're going to say. They give you the extra body. Right. That gets you the player safe because now you get the rest.
So to me, maybe I'm wrong. Hold on. To me, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Gary's willing to negotiate over this 18-game schedule. He's willing to sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't get the feeling Leroy Butler's in the same camp. We'll get his
Leroy
thoughts.
Wants money.
We'll get Leroy's thoughts.
Not at all costs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after the break.
Whitney's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Only on 105.7 FM, The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. We'll talk with our guy over at Forbes and BobMcGinnFootball.com, Rob Reichel, coming up after the Sports Flash. First, we want to hear from Leroy Butler, his thoughts on a proposed 18-game schedule by the NFL to the NFLPA, which players would only be allowed to play 16 of those 18 games, meaning you could go to a football game to go see your favorite football player play, and those might be one of the two games where that player is not allowed to play and is sitting on the sidelines watching their backups play instead. Before the break, in the last segment, Gary Ellerson proposed, forget all that nonsense, play 18 games, get rid of two preseason games, give the players the extra two checks, but have two bye weeks instead of one bye week, and that'll solve all the safety concerns. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, your thoughts.
They're getting pressure to get rid of these Thursday games, which they're not going to do. They've been talking about getting rid of two preseason games forever. They're not going to do it because they get a chance to charge the consumer full price for these preseason games. So it's a cash cow. So why don't we try to put this 18-game schedule in? And then it's just weird to me how they come up with this stuff. I think they was putting more intelligent people on these boards would come up with this stuff. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, why would you tell somebody to play 18 games, but you don't play 18 games, you're really going to play 16. I mean, it just doesn't even add up. If you're going to make them play 18 games, okay, play all 18 games. You don't care about safety anyway, and that's fine. And some of the players, the way they hit, they don't care about it either. So we'll say that's equal amount of share, okay? So, and just do two preseason games like Gary did. Gary said, and you just play. You just play. I don't see how that would makes sense to you have to pick two games to where you have to sit a guy.
You imagine the strategy involved.
I mean, I know, but because if you play the first 16 games and you're in the playoffs.
Oh, that's stupid.
He can't play because he, come on. Go back to the drawing board and come up with something better. This is what I would ask if I was in that room. What are we trying to accomplish here? We're already making money.
Trying to make more money, okay. Leroy. Okay,
now, but we already making more money. Now, it just seemed like, that's why I joke a lot. So I hate rich people. That's a funny joke. But sometimes.
You know why they're rich? Because they never make enough.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Steve. You can be so rich sometimes that you're looking in one direction, the other direction, eating you up.
Sure.
So my thing is, smart rich people like to make the people around them rich. So in other words, I would make like my customers to be rich by either paying less. So let me give you a product that instead of we got to scrounge the internet to find seats for $500, you can find some for $65. Let's try to lower prices at the same time, add better content. But the 18 games, it's been talked about before.
Sure
it came
is.
Up in one of our meetings back in the 90s. Y'all want to play 18 games? And the first thing guys said, what Gary said, hey, they're going to pay us?
Right.
No. The consumer's going to pay two games. They're going to pay for 18 games, but you're not going to play for 18.
But see, that's the crazy part about
so
it.
You're just charging free money for the people.
But that's like what you said earlier. Yeah. If they get rid of the two games, then really, at the end of the day, they're only getting the money back on the TV revenue because you'd have those two games for preseason games anyhow. So you're not making additional money on tickets. You're not making additional money on concessions. The only reason that it would work would be TV deal next time that's up that they're getting two more regular season games than they would have gotten previously.
Yeah.
That's how they make their money. If they do it your way, which is, screw that. We're playing our four preseason games. We're just adding another 2 weeks on. to go along with it. And then you do Gary's, so you add a bye week. So now you're adding 3 weeks onto the NFL schedule, Leroy. So instead of the schedule being 17 weeks long, the schedule is 19 weeks long. No, 20 weeks. The regular season schedule would be 20 weeks. That's 5 months would be the National Football League season. So you're talking about September, October, November, December, and all of January. And then your playoffs would begin at the end of January, early February. And your Super Bowl could be in March.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing about it. If you're the XFL or these new, you don't want to hear this. Because that just knocks you. You don't want the NFL. You don't want the NFL in the spring.
But Leroy.
You don't want that because no one will watch them.
But Leroy, think about it. Leroy, think about it from
the NFL. They need the NFL to be over as soon as possible.
The NBA doesn't want it either. But think about it from the perspective of the NFL, right? What do you got? You have the whole month of February that has nothing until your combine at the end of February and free agency hits in March. So now what they're saying is we're going to own February with our playoffs and going into our Super Bowl. Combine will go a little bit later. Free agency will go a bit later. The draft's going to go a little bit later.
They got you the whole year.
And now we got you. Now there's no dead time for the NFL. None. You're not going to have a four-week dead period at any point in the schedule.
That's why they created the NFL Network for you to get that year-round. I would say go back to the drawing board, come up with something better. This is not – that's why I keep saying it's going to be a strike because there's no way the union is going to sign on to this.
You do know what union you have, right?
That's why it's going to be a strike. They got to get tougher.
They're not going to. We've been saying that about the players' union in the NFL for 30 years. 40 years.
And they've been hearing that. So well,
but they eventually buckle like
everybody
else.
That's why they're going to get tougher. Well, they have to. Right. Otherwise, why would you even need a union?
Well, because you got too many. Because the NFL is so top heavy as far as salaries are concerned. You got maybe four guys on a team making real money.
Right.
And those other guys are not, I mean, they're making money now, don't get me wrong, but those other guys are not making enough money.
Rookie deals, veteran minimums.
Yeah, those guys are not making enough money to be missing games.
But a strike ain't about them. It's about the guys like me and you.
Right, and they don't care about us.
But they have to.
But they don't.
But I know, but the only way they will, because I think that's the reason why they went on strike before. You got to get the guys who are making the millions to care about the guys who are making the thousands. If you don't, you're right. It won't be one. It'll just play, and then they'll just complain. Well, don't complain. You just signed a deal. Just live with the deal.
Let me ask you this. If you guys were in the Players Association and helping the Players Union right now, knowing what you know and what you've watched over the last several years, what would be your number one beef with the owners that, look, no matter what happens out of this new CBA, this must get done. I'm not leaving until this gets done.
Well, go ahead.
Well, healthcare for sure for all players.
So that's your number one thing is healthcare.
That's ever played it down, and we don't have to jump through hoops, go take this test, take that test, get this guy, get that guy. Just make it easier for these guys to get it and then have these guys get their money. That to me, and then service time. Man, if you played in the NFL, you played in the NFL. That means all the practice time that you put in, all that. I mean, to me, service time should be also, and they did adjust it at some point, but all that that should be adjusted as well. So it's healthcare and service time. But these guys that are playing right now
don't care about any of that.
They're making so much money
right.
that they're in it and they don't even think about
post career.
No. And that's why a lot of these guys who are out right now are in, you know, rough shape. And so you know, you've got to, and what else needs to happen is that we need to have some sort of meeting where, like, these players today can see guys like myself and Leroy after it's over, and this is what's going to happen to you. And that's how you make it immediate.
They don't care about that.
That's how you make it immediate.
But that I cared about
here's
it. Because,
here's why you go on the strike. Because one day it's going to be you.
Well, yeah, but they
need to see it, and they don't see it. Walk Jim McMahon up there and let him figure out where he's at.
And you know what they're going to say? That's him. That ain't me.
Yeah. How about somebody carry Earl Campbell in front of them?
Well, right. They had to carry him downstairs every time.
Carry.
My number one thing would be, and I agree with Gary with the health care, because after 3 years, you're on your own.
Right.
I would expand that to maybe 10 years. But I would do the pension. That's number one on my board. The NFL pension is pathetic compared to other baseball I mean, baseball's amazing. Their pitch is.
Give just, me an idea of what's the difference.
Oh, their pitch is like 250, 5 or 65, whatever. The football, 40,000.
But that's what I was alluding to, service time,
it's
Roy.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, the pinch and service
it's
time.
It's pathetic.
It's that big of a difference?
Oh, my. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In other sports, basketball, now you have less guys. I get it. But I think for the union to be top heavy, to understand what's asked of the owners, and it don't cost the owners anything, really. They got money for this stuff. But if, I'm not going to give it to you if you don't ask. The pension should be better for somebody like Jerry Kramer, who played in the 60s. You know, guys that we don't even know, that the millennials will never see these guys play. The guys in the 70s, the 80s, their pension?
Horrible.
I mean, they can't even live. But they played 10, 15 years. Now, the guys in the Hall of Fame, you can get around. But the pension is terrible. Some of the pensions for normal companies are better, and the NFL is a $1 trillion company. It should be better. That would be one. That would be to me, if I was an active person playing, I don't care how much I made, it would be worth me fighting for.
I've got a question.
To get that pension for the guys who played before me, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. That's worth fighting for.
I got a question.
Yeah.
How many of these current players give a damn about you all?
Probably zero.
I mean, that's the problem.
Now, you know, I'm not saying zero. You know, some guys do.
We understand.
But
right, yeah, it's a smaller portion, right? It's the minority portion.
Minuscule.
Right.
Whatever that word means.
So really, at the end of the day.
Chris Longs of the world, they got an idea.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead. At the end of the day, these guys are in there fighting for themselves and their current contracts. Exactly. That's what this is all about. Yes. Very rarely are they probably fighting for you all that are done playing. Mm-hmm. And but then once they're done playing, then they want the current ones to fight for them when they didn't fight before.
That's why you got to have a leader to make their focus on the player.
Do tell who that is.
Well, they have to give somebody else. If DeMaurice Smith is leaving. Troy Vincent is the only guy, to me, Troy Vincent is the only guy that's cerebral enough to understand the business part of it. Wisconsin.
He's also been on the other side.
Yes.
That's what you need.
Well, as long as he's not friends with the other side.
It don't matter about that. It don't matter about when you
would for me as a player. I wouldn't want some guy coming from that side coming to represent me. Now he's boys with Goodell, and now all of a sudden he's betting over for what they want.
If Roger Goodell wants to put a player in the position that he's in now, I applaud that. I want to see players, Merton Hanks. I want to see players working for the league. I want to see that.
I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying as a player now, I don't want somebody coming from the league office now to say, oh, we care about the Players Association, so I'm on the Players Association. That scares the hell out of me if I'm a player, because how do I know Vincent doesn't have a deal made with Goodell?
He would never do that.
Well, I don't know Troy Vincent. I'm just saying, as a player, I don't know.
First of all, it's against the law. Let's say that first of all. It's against the law. The antitrust laws.
But he has been on both sides.
And that's what you want. You got a guy, need to get a guy to know what's over the hill, what's on the hill, and behind the hill. Not just on one side. Because you're just going to be too, you're never going to get anything done. You have to know what people think and how can I get this done for my people. And you have to be appointed. You can't just walk in.
Right.
They have to appoint you.
Sure do.
I'm just throwing out a name because that's the guy I would trust because he does know people. Everybody likes the guy.
Yeah. Yep. He's Packer Hall of Famer.
He should be the next commissioner.
Gary Ellerson, C-Sparky Fiverr Sports Flash with Anthony Mandela. And then we will check in with our guy, Brian Reichel, over at Forbes.com. Got a great piece going. A series piece on the Green Bay Packers and of BobMcGinnFootball.com. Get his thoughts on the Packers and Melvin Gordon straight ahead on the Wendy's Big Show.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.